Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back yet again in the month of May for another episode of Flame On. It is our monthly roundup, not to be confused with the roundup we put out at the beginning of the month or the micro show that we put out just a couple of weeks ago. The month of May, just very, very busy for us here at Flame On Studios. It's a smaller than normal cast for our roundups. But I'm being joined on the East Coast by Eric.
Hello.
And on the West Coast by Brian.
Good morning.
For some of us.
Most of us. Right?
No, just you.
Wait, what time is it? It's only noon. Oh, it's noon.
It's noon.
God, I can't do math.
Yeah, it's the afternoon for me. It's after 12 p.m. noon. So. Fine. But we are here, we are celebrating the unofficial start of summer as we record on knitting convention weekend here in Chicago, which I'd forgotten that was the euphemism used for this weekend. And it seems like more, or at least this year, or maybe more recently, it's just being referred to that thing we do in May. So it is IML weekend here in Chicago. It's Bear Fest weekend in Atlanta. So maybe that's why BJ's MIA today. Mm-hmm. But no, he had some stuff going on. So we will just leave it at that. But yeah, so a quick little tangential piece here. If you have been... I don't know if this is a terminally online piece or not, but recently there was some issues, some drama in Palm Springs within the leather community, the Black queer community, and I don't have everything, so I'm not going to speak to it a lot, but there was some drama around Honey Davenport, which... rightfully so, had a lot of pushback and gained a lot of traction in support for Honey as they were, I believe, DJing an event at the Tool Shed in Palm Springs and led into a whole bunch of things. But in a lovely twist of karmic fate, guess who is your new Mr. IML as of last night, or as of this recording? That's right. Honey Davenport won Mr. IML last night. So congrats to Honey. I don't know what Honey's name, like what Honey's actual name is or what they competed under, because everything that I've seen posted today is all just tagging Honey Davenport, which I love. So, but yeah, pretty awesome. And we had well, I guess now is only a fellow Orlando resident to Eric, but, Sir Ryan, the Mr. Barcodes Leather 2026, competed at IML this weekend as well. Ran into him. Haven't seen Ryan in, probably 6-7 years or so. It's been a hot minute, but it's nice to run into and see some people that I haven't seen in a while on this lovely weekend.
Is Ryan a... Bear event regular in Orlando that we know, that I know? Or is this...
No, Ryan, I think his husband would come out to some things more often. And I think he did a couple of things at some of the events that he used to run at Parliament. But he I don't really go on Facebook that much, so I don't unfortunately get to keep up with a lot of people's comings and goings. But he was a hairstylist and had his own salon, I think in Winter Park, a number of years back. Might still, but I apparently has done a lovely transformation into a leather sir in the Orlando community, and good for him. So it has been it's been lovely. Got to see Peter from Tribal Sun. Peter and Brian both are up here for the weekend vending at the IML Market. Shane Ruff of Burley Shirts and his boy were there. Got to see them. It's quite enjoyable. Even Jamie, friend of the pod, sometimes host when he can actually connect to the program. Unfortunately, last time we were going to have him on, he wasn't able to. But even ran into his ex-husband at the vendor market on Friday. So just getting to see people from all over. It's lovely. It's always a good time. How has y'all's weekend been as we head into the summer season?
I haven't had a normal weekend in so long. I feel like I'm still catching up, but like last weekend, we're on almost the end of May, Memorial Day weekend, I had our fifth annual Pride Spiel here in Seattle, the Rainbow Spiel, and we had a gaming theme near and dear to our hearts here at Flame On. And we had a lot of different gaming elements, decorations first and foremost, which were amazing. There's some pixel art, a mural that my friend Mark made that is, Pat, you'd love it. I'll send you a picture. It's Zelda, but it's Link. But anyway, it looks great. And then we had a local friend here who works for Penny Arcade, and PAX, and he temporarily donated us, let us borrow some arcade games. So we had that set up at the club. We had a local drag queen, Louvel, who was performing as part of a match. We called it On the Button Match Game, not Snatch Game, that I hosted. And they played different characters with a bunch of other curlers from the various clubs that came down participating as different characters that were gaming related. But by far the best character in the whole thing was Tingle. We had a friend of a friend, Laura, who was Tingle, as sort of mask, like, you know, because Tingle's sort of masculine coded. So they did it up as like a kind of drag king take on Tingle. Amazing. So good. Stole the show, honestly. I felt bad for Louvel. I was like, I'm sorry. But I mean, they had a great time. And we raised over $5,000 for Trans Lifeline and Trans Law Center. So that was the biggest thing for me, is just to try to use this opportunity of curling and partying and being idiots to raise money for good causes. So, yeah, that happened. Then I went to Hawaii for a week. Then I had a very large, crazy event on Saturday. And then I saw the Bear Pad guys on Sunday. So it's been lots. But I'm glad to be home and have sort of a day off, finally.
You couldn't afford Jane Doan for the Rainbow Spiel?
Oh, you know, there was a time I actually could. I mean, obviously before, but I almost hired Irene once, and I forgot what happened. Somebody recommended her before Drag Race, and she would have been fun. I think for this event, Irene would have been the better. Well, no, they're both nerds. I mean, Bosco is a nerd. They're all hosting, like, they do that D&D or whatever thing they do, and like, they all would have been great. But you know what's funny is I was trying to hire. So our original plan was Sid Seedy, who, if you're not in the Seattle area, you may not have seen. Although Sid, actually, Eric's seen. Hey, I take that back. Eric's seen Sid. We took Eric out to a drag king show down in Orlando. And so Sid was our original king we were going to hire. And they were working on a specific number. They always do this. They make a specific number for like us. So they did like a curling thing last year. And then this year they were going to do something. I forgot what they told me, like Spyro or something. Anyway, their partner is having surgery, so they had to like cancel all their May bookings, and they were like so sorry and apologetic because they were really looking forward to it. Just, Sid also really wants to curl, and yeah, anyway, all that to say, that happened like 2 weeks out from my event. From then until pretty much the Thursday before, I was on social media, I was hitting up forums, I was talking to friends, trying to find a drag king. And, you know, people talk about drag kings are not booked enough, you know, whatever. That's probably true elsewhere, but in Seattle, oh my God, they were all booked. Every single one that was on my radar that I recommended. I mean, there were probably maybe, there was one king I could have got, but they didn't want to like, they didn't want to do the gaming thing. And they were like, no, I do a wedding singer knockoff. I was like, okay, that's not going to fit. I don't think that's going to fit. Sorry. But yeah, every other king turned us down. So I, and you know, gracefully, they all were like, oh, it sounds fun, I want to do it. But anyway, all I'm saying is drag kings here in Seattle seem to be booked and blessed. So good for them.
Eric, how's your weekend been?
It's too hot to go outside, so I don't.
How hot is it?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I didn't wake up.
You didn't wake up?
Yeah. Early enough to go outside today.
Damn.
It's in the 90s, so.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah, we're supposed to get to like 80 today. It's the hottest day of the weekend. I think it's going to be kind of up there for the next couple of days, but I'll be going to Cleveland tomorrow morning, so we'll see how weather is. Not that different because it's not that far away from here. It's an hour and a half flight or so, so I'm sure it'll
probably
still
be hot in Cleveland.
But I'm bumped. Yes.
Well, it's,
just call me Valerie Bertinelli.
It's 60.
She was on the show, right?
Was she?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I can't remember that show at all. It was like the only other one I knew for certain was Betty White, and I'm like, I'm not that old.
Well, it's 60 and overcast here in Seattle, but yesterday it was almost, I think it was almost 70. So we're getting up there. It's any day now, and I feel like it's gonna be the hottest summer we've had in a while, so I'm not looking forward to that.
I mean, that's every year at this point. Climate change is real.
Oh, yeah.
But anywho, let's not get into that upbeat topic just this moment.
We don't want to bitch about politics? Come on.
No, not today. There's just way too much to bitch about. Oh, all is horrible. And
there's good news. There's people resigning. There's some.
Yes, the women to be replaced with more mediocre white men.
Fair. Although, come on, Tulsi, Jesus Christ.
I mean, yes, like, good. But it's
going to be replaced by somebody better.
Yeah, it's going to be a mediocre white man who will be just as bad. Like, it's also gross.
I will miss looking at her weird little white streak and thinking she's rogue, like a bad, evil rogue.
She's fucking
Cruella.
Val. She's Val.
She's Val. Holy shit, you're right.
She's Val. She's like, Val. I was like, I kept going. I'm like, I know it's Contessa, but I'm like, I don't know the Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My brain wasn't processing fast enough to say that. I just wanted to keep saying Contessa. Just Val. We'll just go with Val. But before we dive into some topics, we might as well chat about it since we've entered bracket two and we were talking about some drag just before. Have y'all watched the first episode of bracket two of Drag Race? Brian, I know you've been traveling, but
I watched the first episode of bracket one. No spoilers.
Baby steps.
I'll get there. Listen, it was they had to front load it. They had to do two at once, and then I got busy, and it's I'll catch up.
Well, the funny part is that we can talk about episode one of bracket two and not spoil a goddamn thing for bracket one for you.
That's true. Oh yeah, and I heard Crystal Method looks great.
Yeah,
that's great. I love that.
Jasmine Kennedy's already online trying. I see some trans in there. Whenever you need that shot, I'm over here.
There's so many eggs on that show right now. I feel like they're just not quite over the hump.
Some. I had to look it up. I was like, did Crystal come out as trans? Because, dear Lord, the amount of work that boy has had is, it looks like a completely different person.
Really? I mean, that's how I feel about morphine. And I mean, but this is how I felt about morphine, like, several years ago.
Morphine also was in an accident that, like, destroyed her face. Like,
yeah.
But I mean, right. Also, feminization probably was part of the, you know.
Well, yes, but if you have to, like, reconstruct somebody's jaw, you might as well.
No, you might as well. Totally.
I feel like it was like, let's find the silver lining in having to do all of this reconstruction after this massive accident.
But she didn't elect for a harder jawline, is all I'm saying. But, like, she looks beautiful. I mean, that's the thing. They look beautiful. And you know, whatever. They're doing their non-binary thing. They're doing their whatever. They're on their own gender journey. But, like, you know. Yeah. They'll get there.
Yeah, but this bracket two is interesting. The first episode was fine. I didn't like the challenge necessarily.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It feels weird because it feels like they're going to push through. There's three people that I could see them pushing through in bracket two. And with only two of them going on, it feels weird. Like, I don't know how this is going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny. Somebody commented online and they were like, why are they gaslighting us into believing that Canada doesn't exist when they keep talking about it only being Silky's third time on the show? And it's like, Canada versus the world is still a real thing, right? We did live
it's
through
still
that.
A world of wonder. But
yeah, apparently they don't want to count that at all. So,
and but we'll yeah, see Global the same thing in the next Canada. Bracket with Kennedy, because they won't talk about it either.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. But I did like the majority of the runways, and I was very happy to see Vivacious pull off a really good look on the runway, because we haven't seen much of Vivacious's runways, and it's been 13 years? Is that what they said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 13 years since Vivacious competed, and that's like, it's crazy. That bitch been doing drag for like 35 years. Can you fucking believe it? When they played the clip from season 6 where Vivacious was talking about, it was like her 21st year in drag. So then it's like, so with 34 years in drag now after, you know, all this time, it's like, that's insane. That's amazing. And crazy. And God, I'm old, because I'm like, damn. Oh, but it's interesting to see where this is going. I'm middle of the road on All Stars 11 so far. Eric, how are you feeling about AS 11?
It's fine. Like, not to spoil anything, I liked the way the first bracket turned out. Although, I agree with one person who went through, maybe not another person who went through. But
interesting take on that.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I don't know. I'm nervous. Like, I know who I want to go through, and I don't even want to say it. Nope, don't even want to say it. Y'all will react. I'm gonna find out. It's funny because normally I don't care, but for some reason I do now. Like, for this group, I think. Well, anyway, I know who, based on the first episode, I know who will not be going through.
Listen, just because you want Mystique Summers, Nate Madison to win it all.
No, she's fine. She's fun. I want her to win. I love her name. I had forgotten that she was like Mystique Summers. I'm like, this is like the nerdiest reference name I've ever seen, I feel, to our interests. But no, I okay, fine. I'll say I want Dawn because I love Dawn. I absolutely think she's one of my favorite queens in the last many iterations. And if I had to pick a second one, I'm kind of neutral. I could do, I don't know, Morgan or Morphine or Oh God, who am I missing? I can't remember. Six Queens.
Lucky Stars. No. Curio.
No. I mean, Curio's fine.
That's it.
Like, well, no, I guess see, that's why I'm neutral. Like, I don't really like Lucky. I think the two that are not going through are Lucky and Mystique. I can't imagine a world. Oh boy. See? That's why I didn't want to do it. No, I don't.
I'm just reacting for fun.
I was gonna say, I felt like that was your fun. Yeah, anyway. But no, I don't. I just want Dawn to go through.
Well, that's fuck the only one. Really right? Based
solely on the first episode, I have no other point of reference. They're lovely people. That's all I got. Also, did they literally make a theme for the runway butter?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Butter yellow.
They couldn't just butter call it yellow. Yellow.
Butter yellow. Only two of them went literal butter. And only one of them was
successful.
And honestly, yes. But at the same time, I didn't even really like the other one as, you know, either.
I only liked one of the two butters.
The other one was not successful, in my opinion. But then Marge Simpson was, like, it was good, but I thought there were better runways than that one.
Who played Marge?
Who do you think?
Oh, Crystal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty great. I can't wait. I'm excited. See, this is what I need. I need, like, look forward to this. I guess I can actually skip ahead. Can I? Well, they'll recap. It'll be weird. But no, I really...
No, because if you watch the first episode of Bracket 2, you'll find out who won Bracket 1.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, that sure. They're doing that? Okay.
Girl, just put it on and put it on, like, 1.5 speed or 1.25 speed. You'll be done much quicker.
Well, you know what I actually do? And I don't know if this is... Some people are going to be mad. I basically watch the opening. I watch the first, like, you know, reaction. Well, they don't even react to Who Goes Home. So I watch that, whatever they call that first thing. Then they do, like, the little mini challenge, and I kind of look through. I watch that. And then I walk away and have just the audio on, and I'm doing, like, chores around the house to them, just whatever.
Yeah, you don't
doing.
Need to actually watch the workroom parts.
No, I basically don't. So I just listen, kind of, half. And then I come back for the runway or the challenge or whatever. So that's... That kind of helps speed things along.
But I'm telling you, put it on 1.25. Put on 1.25 speed.
That bothers
me. It doesn't distort it enough.
It bothers me, though. No, it pitches them up enough that it bothers me. Like, I can't do that for podcasts. I can't do that for books. And when I accidentally turn, like, that 1.25 on, I know it immediately, and it's just not right. So, no.
I wouldn't have gotten through UK versus the World Season 3. In Canada's Drag Race Season 6 without 1.25 speed.
See, Canada's is the one that I will take my time and enjoy. I just like that show way, way better than what we have. But
I love Brooklyn. And Brooklyn. So I've dipped my toe into going on Facebook a little bit more just because, I don't know, just to see what's going on or whatever. And Brooklyn posted a picture, like a throwback, like, 2013, I think it was, like back in the day of her in drag, next to a picture of her from the, I think it was the, might have been the Stop That Train premiere. And she was like, woof, it does get better, people. And it was so crazy seeing, like, 5 faces ago Brooklyn Heights versus today. Oh, yeah. I was like, aw. But in a lot of ways, I'm not a big fan of Canada's Drag Race. But I love Brooklyn.
Like, it's so, I don't know. I like the challenges. I like it's just different enough. Can we talk about that Stop That Train for a second? So
the future Emmy Award winning...
Oscar.
Emmy, I was going to say, is it because it's going straight to TV?
I mean, it might be nominated for a Golden Globe. We don't know. Yeah. Or it could sweep the Razzies.
Could
you imagine all those queens turning up to the Razzies?
Yes, I would love that.
It is going to win an Oscar for Best Picture. And I will just state this right now. I am excited to see this movie.
Okay. Why? Other than just we love who's in it.
Because it looks like a queer airplane.
Yes.
And I fucking love it. Or it, not even that. Because I mean, airplane was its own thing.
It looks like a queer, gay, naked gun. Not another disaster movie.
It looks like a gay naked gun.
Yeah.
No, which are all the same, all variations on a theme there.
It's Zucker Brothers. No, I mean, I get it. And I like that style of humor back when I was younger. Okay, first of all, let me ask you this, and maybe you know. How long is it playing in your respective theaters? Do you know if it's even... Okay, do you know if it's playing more than one night? I have been told that it's playing exactly one night here in Seattle.
I don't know. Let me...
And maybe somebody miscommunicated this to me because they're like all like, oh yeah, I get tickets. It's going to be playing one night. And they just got their wires crossed. This happens a lot. So who knows? People like to be high in the city. But I feel like I'm worried it's getting like very limited distribution. And like, so it's like Pillion all over again. You have to like hunt it down. And
Opening June 12th. It's not rated. Hour 32 minutes.
It's not rated. They're not rated yet. They got to rate it.
Oh,
that's weird.
Right. Well, it still doesn't come out for another couple of weeks. I don't know what that means.
I see at least in the Regals by me, it's playing for at least a week. Okay. I can get tickets for the entire week that it's coming out.
Okay, good. Well, then I feel a little better because I think my guess is they just, I don't know, something happened. They got their wires crossed because it didn't make sense. Other than though, Pillion, when it came out, there was one theater that had it for like one day. So I was like, oh, shit, this is like a weird thing now. Maybe all the theaters are owned by the Ellison family and they're just, sidelining all the gay movies. Like, I don't know. We're in a weird world.
Oh, yeah. By me, I've got early showings on Thursday the 11th. And then right now I'm seeing the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th.
Good. I feel
not a ton of options.
No.
So it's not playing on a ton of screens in all of these theaters, but yeah, no, I've got a few of them.
I'm hoping it's good. I think the trailers that I have seen give me mid confidence. I don't know.
Hope it's better than the acting challenges.
Well, dear, you set a low bar.
Well, this can actually have credited writers as opposed to, as Willem AI. Calls it, the chimps working in the basement of World of Wonder, hitting a keyboard. I honestly, like, the trailers, it seems so stupid. And honestly, like, there is a little, it's weird. I feel like in the jokes that I've seen, it's a throwback to that type of humor, but without going back to that time, if that makes sense. Where if you go back and you watch an airplane, a naked gun, any of them, what's Hot Shots? Like any of those, that humor, there's a dated factor to content of some of those jokes and who takes the brunt of some of those jokes, and especially for queers and minorities, like it's going, like if you go back to that time, it's not good. But there's still like maybe for people of our age, there is a bit of that nostalgia and that little bit of a soft spot. And maybe I'm just speaking for me.
No, but you're right.
If it can hit that type of like stupid fun and not punched down in those same ways of the 70s, 80s, 90s, I think it's going to be just fun. And Sarah Michelle Gellar is in it. I mean, come on.
I forgot she shows up. That's right. No, the casting is
she's
great.
She's the last and special guest. Also starring Sarah Michelle Gellar in the trailer. Like, I love the fact that she is singled out as like that special guest in the movie. It's so stupid.
No, I'm excited to, I'm like I said, I'm mid hopeful because I really want this to be something that's, I want it to be a cult classic, but I also want it to get like a decent reception, like somewhat, wide distribution. And I was disheartened to hear what I heard from whoever I talked to about this now, who's probably just completely wrong. Wouldn't shock me now, actually thinking about who they are. But yeah, no, I'm glad. I want it to be a success. I want people to enjoy it, and I want drag to find a way into people's hearts in a way that's not, you know, nefarious, but it's also just joyful, and it looks like it is. So, and we love Ginger, so she's in it, and we're gonna support it. So yay.
And Brooklyn and Juju.
And Brooklyn, yeah, and Juju.
And Marsha, but as their legal name, because they did not want to be credited in their first major motion picture as Marsha. I mean, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But also, it's the return of Joel McHale to the Drag Race universe.
You love it.
Shirtless in a harness on the train, which... Yes.
Seattle's own. We love it. Very, very
but
proud.
But now I want Joel McHale back on Drag Race so much. Like, I don't care what anybody else says. That season 10 episode where he was a special guest judge still tickles me to this day.
Who was there with the sole desire just to piss off Michelle Visage?
Which you know he's a fan then after that. You know.
I fucking love it. Oh, goodness. Well, listeners, let us know how you're enjoying All-Stars 11, who your picks are to win, and why is it Mystique Summers? and if you are excited, or if you've already gotten your tickets to see Stop That Train in theaters June 12th. Although what kills me is in All-Stars 11, this episode especially, they obviously filmed it and did not say what date it was or when it was coming out because they didn't know at that time.
Oh, the ADR is so bad when she's like, horrible. And you've won tickets to Stop That Train premiering.
You and your friends have won tickets to see Stop That Train only in theaters on June 12th. Like, what? You've got money, Rue. You could fucking do some better ADR than this. It was so, like, I haven't noticed it as much in, like, the end of season 18, the first bracket of All-Stars. This episode, it was, like, she did a voice note on her fucking phone, and her phone was a fucking Nokia from 2002. Like, it was bad.
Which is weird, because you would think that she only has to record that once, and they can fit it in for every episode, but she did a completely different take for this particular episode.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Or just do like the entire thing. Like, just record the entire thing over again and just put the damn, like, the graphic up so you don't see her saying it when they first recorded it. I don't know. Just ridiculous. But I'm excited to see this movie regardless. Get Railed. Only in theaters, June 12th. All right, let's get on to some topics here. Eric, what you got for us?
Survivor's over. Yay!
Completely? They're done? Never coming back? No. Oh. Just Survivor 50.
Well, the game will be changed going forward, as Jeff
Forever.
Says. Forever. we have survived 50 seasons of Survivor. That crazy. Is crazy to think about.
Crazy. Oh my goodness. But it's me and going crazy.
I had to do the math. I'm like, how has it been 50 years? And they're like, oh, they do multiple seasons. Okay. Yeah. That makes
it's
way
more
sense.
It's been 84 years.
yeah, it's... I was happy with the person who won.
Pat, yeah, we can spoil it. I got spoiled... the day after, because okay. I don't watch it the day of, because I'll watch on the app and I don't watch it live, so I usually watch it on that Thursday. I worked and then went out to trivia. Safonda Booz, shout out to my good friend Safonda, was trying out a trivia at a new place, so we went out to trivia on Thursday night, which we don't normally do. And I happened to, like, scroll to the side to my Google Discover feed. And it was like, Aubrey Bracco is the winner of Survivor season 50. And I was like, oh, shit. I forgot to not look at my phone until I watched. And then at that point,
do they not teach AI? Spoiler alert. Like, come on.
No.
Come on, AI. You're training the wrong shit. Let's get this, get your act together.
My Discover feed, YouTube, it doesn't matter. If I don't watch it as soon as I can, I know. I'm screwed. So yeah, we can spoil the hell out of it. I haven't watched it yet, Eric. I did not get a chance to this morning, but I know Aubrey won, and I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, considering who was in, I mean, so at the point before the finale, there was down to the final five. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So Tiffany was still there before the finale.
Tiff, Rizzo, Joe,
Jonathan, and Aubrey.
Jonathan and Aubrey. Yeah, that's where I left off at with that weird unceremonious double elimination episode where it was like two episodes crammed into one for some reason. Because
there were a lot of questionable decisions made, producing decisions made in this season.
Sure.
They try to cram everything into it because it was the 50th season. When honestly, just bringing back a lot of fan favorites could have been enough. And then they had all of the fan voting for some minor production decisions, which was fine, which was good to get the fans involved, which is great. I think that's interesting. I don't think the fans voted for anything out of the ordinary.
No.
Looking at the list of things, making them earn rice. Yeah, that's what they've been doing in the new era anyways. Making them earn their camp supplies. Yeah. Having idols. Could you imagine a season without any idols? Or any season without idols? That would be crazy.
I mean, the first 10, and going back and watching them, it's so different. Yeah. So crazy to see how that was. But yeah, but to your point, I was watching like every so often, and I used to watch them more often. I don't watch as often, but there were a couple of Survivor YouTube channels that I would watch. Idled Out, I still watch pretty regularly because his videos, Luke, based out of the Seattle area. I was like, oh, that's, I wish that I had been visiting during a season because they apparently do a watch party and I watch his videos every week. Peridium and Once Upon an Island were like the three that I would watch a lot. And I was watching a Once Upon an Island video about a week or two ago, I think it was. And he kind of went into the fact that the way that the voting was structured, it was very leading in how the votes were. Did you vote for any of these, Eric? Like, did you go online?
No. I didn't watch 49, so I really didn't know that the voting was going to be a thing, and I don't pay attention to it when it's not on TV. So
gotcha. Okay, but the way that they phrased some of the questions, it was like the they gassed up the questions or the answers that they wanted. So like, you know, should there be idols or whatever? And it's like, yeah, of course. That's what makes the game so exciting. And then the other choice is like, no, I don't like idols. And it's like, okay, let's leading answers much, but all right. What did you think about the season overall with these twists?
I thought it was a good season. There were certain, I think I was happy with the people who made it to, well, there were people that I wanted to last longer, and there were people that I wanted to get that made it further than I wanted to. So that happens every season, though.
Say their names. Say their
names. Rick Devin should have won. Rick Devin should have won. Now, I mean, that's who I was rooting for most of the season, was Rick Devin, just because he was entertaining me.
Okay.
And that, like, him, Christian, and Emily, like, because they were kind of the most I see, if I was on the island, kind of the way I would be thinking about things. So I was sad when each of them got eliminated. I don't think that the whole celebrity-ishness was really successful at all. The Billie Eilish boomerang idol, which none of the idols boomeranged. And then that could have been any celebrity. Because she never, there was like no video message. There was no, she didn't come out to the island at any point. She didn't even show up at the live finale. You know, so what was the point of Billie Eilish, of the Billie Eilish of it all? Zach Brown, okay, he was there for a concert.
And it's, I mean, that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I said I'll pay attention for a minute now. What's going on here?
Jimmy Fallon, the twist was interesting. It was fun to see Jeff participate in an elimination challenge. But again, apart from his name being on a piece of parchment, he wasn't there.
At least he had, like, on his show, like, he had Probst on, and like he did enough not on the season, like not actually there,
yeah,
to warrant like the promotion and all of that, where Billie Eilish did nothing outside of it and then had like one commercial where she promoted her concert film trailer was going to be on the next, or like on the next episode. And then apparently went on Amy Poehler's podcast and kind of shit talked Survivor. And the fact that they just, like, they were like, hey, do you want to do this? Here are some options. And then she picked one, or maybe her team picked one. So, yeah it's very weird.
Yeah. Mr. Beast, I almost didn't watch that episode just because I don't want anything to do with Mr. Beast. Yeah. But I found the kind of twist interesting, the whole coin flip thing.
Yeah, but it's do or die from like four seasons earlier.
I mean, the only good thing Mr. Beast did was gave them an extra $1 million. That was about true. It.
I wonder if that bumped up the second and third place prizes also.
Probably not.
Probably not.
And then the Sia, but she does that every season now. Although it's not a fan favorite, she typically just does it herself and picks.
Has she been doing it in the new era? I wasn't sure about that.
I'm not sure.
Gotcha. Who won the Sia money?
Siri.
Mm-hmm. Siri.
Yeah, Siri. Sorry.
Oh, I was like, Siri?
I just activated my phone. yes. Siri won the fan favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wanted Siri to win this so badly. Just from an overall, like, she should, but...
She has won other shows. I know Survivor is where she started, but she has won.
She won the Traitors, yeah. Like, I get it, but like I want to see her win this, but at the same time, it's like, no matter how far she goes, you know they're not going to take her to the end, because if she makes it to the end, she's not going to win her own way there, and nobody's going to take her.
Yeah,
because if you sit next to Suri at the end, you're handing her the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, but I was still and I was so mad that was the double, like the two episodes crammed into one. Because we got the first elimination, and I was like, wait, we still have six people. And then I looked at the time, and I was like, we still have about a half an episode left. And I was like, oh, shit, we're doing another full cycle in the second half of this episode. Whereas when they did, like, the Blood Moon twist, and they eliminated, what was it, three people.
Yeah.
And, like, you have these things where the whole episode is surrounded by, hey, we're going to have multiple eliminations. Had they done that, it would have made sense. But like, it just felt kind of shitty. Like, somebody did not plan this out properly to then cram two full episodes, normal, like, elimination episodes into one. Mm-hmm. And one of those being Suri. I was like, I don't like this. this is shitty.
Maybe they just were not very interesting on the beach and they had no footage.
I mean, maybe. By that point, you never know. The only thing that I will say is the only two people out of that final five that I did not want to win were Joe. There's something about Joe that I cannot stand.
Yeah.
And Rizzo. Those were the two that I was like, please don't let them win. Please don't let them win. I would not have been mad if Tiff won. I just want to see Jonathan naked. And Aubrey's a good player. So.
Yeah, at that point, Rizzo rubbed me wrong the entire season, especially after the Charlie vote. I was like, done with you, Rizzo.
Oh, and then Suri aligned with him, and I was like, son of a bitch, he's not going anywhere. Then he turned on them both, and I'm like, and this is why you don't keep that bitch around. Like, this is why.
Yeah. Tiffany, I didn't really care for in the middle of the season, but then she was growing on me towards the end. So I was happy with as far as she got. Joe was annoying the entire season. The fact that they had to babysit him for every vote.
Well, and you said you were a Devins fan, so
yeah,
he was gunning for Devins for like the second, like the latter half or the second half of his stay on the island.
Yeah. And he just did not make any strategic moves for himself at all. So the fact that him and Jonathan made it to the end and nobody ever gunned for them was because everybody wanted to sit next to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I mean, yeah, I guess this time around, Jonathan did play a little better of a game this time around, but I mean, and I'm glad that he's not a zero vote finalist. Mm-hmm. Joe can be that 2-time zero vote finalist. Like, that's fine. At least Jonathan got some votes.
The three votes he got were the ones that you expect voted for.
Coach. Rizzo.
Nope.
No?
Stephanie and Chrissy.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. His alliance. Pretty much. Got it. But no, I'm glad to see at least he got some votes at the end.
I have in the past enjoyed the live finales, although this one was so weird. Like, the whole, they don't like air the episode and then do a live reunion after the fact. They try to do this like meshed where they show the live studio and they bring out some contestants and then they show a segment of the episode and then they do a little more live and then more episode. But then Jeff's getting old and before they aired the fire making challenge, he brought out person who lost the fire making challenge
and then everyone that they lost the fire making challenge.
They didn't say it, but you could tell that. And now bring out Rizzo, who's going to make the 10th and final person of the jury. And then the other contestants had to be like, you haven't shown the fire making yet, Jeff. And the studio audience was just completely quiet. And then they had to cut to commercial, and it was just very awkward. And I'm sure Jeff will never do another live finale again.
I mean, it's been what, five and a half years since they've done a live finale.
Yeah. I mean, but in the press cycle this time around, he's stated that he does not like the live finales and reunion episodes.
Yeah. The fans love it, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least he's not fucking, you know, rappelling off of helicopters anymore or water skiing his way from Fiji to, like, L.A. Mm-hmm. The good old days of Survivor live finales. Nice. Well, overall, what did you, like, if you had to give a letter grade to Survivor 50, what would you give it?
Probably a B plus. It definitely, it was definitely all the nostalgia from just the returning players that I think made it a much better season.
Yeah.
Than what the production choices allowed for. Because if it had just been a regular season with a bunch of new people with like the celebrity stuff thrown in, it would just been weird. And so, yeah,
for sure. No, I agree. And we got to get old school heartthrob Colby and new school heartthrob Jonathan on a season together. So I was happy.
Although Jonathan has not been doing well in the press since.
I've seen some things and as long as he doesn't say anything too stupid, like he can be like, oh, they were bitter, they were whatever. Like, that's fine. Say what you need to make yourself feel better. And then take off your shirt and let me see your chest. But that's fine. As long as you don't go too crazy. And then we have to hate you. But it happens. It happens every, it feel like it's every year. Like, there's the second place person that always feels jilted, jaded. But overall, I think it was a pretty decent season, especially compared to some of the recent seasons. I think like 48 was, geez, that was not. I wasn't a big fan of 49 either, but I also can't stand Rizzo. But 48 was a fucking sleeper. Like, that was just. So this definitely had its moments, and I always did a season three back.
Like, ever since I just missed the 39 days. The shorter seasons, it just.
Yeah.
I feel like
they're never going to go back, which is sad.
Although, did you. Oh, well, you haven't watched the episode, so you didn't see the preview for the new season, but it's starting similar to some of the old seasons.
Yes. Yeah. The boat, yeah. And it's like the teens or like the early single digit seasons. Get your shit and then jump off the boat.
Yeah.
I was like, that is awesome. Like, I'm down for that. Although the fact that they have to be like, everything is on the table, nothing's off limits. It's like, was there ever a point where we're like, oh, well, we can't have things from the early seasons. The fuck? Like, you're the only ones that are limiting yourselves on what you bring back for each season. So, but yeah, I watched that. It's going to be interesting. The cast that they chose to highlight in the trailer didn't make me exactly excited to watch, but I'm sure I'll watch it and it'll be what it'll be this fall. Nice. All right. Well, Brian has been basically nodding off in the background here. So let's swing from Survivor and reality television over to Brian and his topic, which is
muted, apparently.
Being muted, which nobody gets to hear.
Oh my god, you think by now. I was saying it's a game time decision for me because I didn't have a whole lot of time in the last whatever, however many weeks, but I did catch most of the last Stephen Colbert late show. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I've loved Stephen Colbert for pretty much all of his major career, from The Daily Show through to The Colbert Report to Late Show and like Strangers with Candy before all that. Yeah, I can't his book. I even eat the freaking Americone Dream sometimes. It's not my favorite Ben and Jerry's, no offense. It's fish food usually, but still, it's good. It's good. Love the Americone Dream. So I'm very sad about losing that late night show. I don't think it was always successful. I think there is definitely an era where it was kind of rough. But overall, I think what comes through beautifully in Stephen's work is it's silly. He's a clown. He's an entertainer. He really does his best to just, you know, entertain. But underneath it is an intelligence and an empathy that I don't see very often in people who are famous, people who are, you know, entertainers at that level. Anyone who's like read interviews about him or with him or whatever, like, he has a profound faith that is moving to me. He's a big old Lord of the Rings nerd, which I appreciate. He has a depth of intelligence in his interactions with the world and a thoughtfulness that I, again, don't hear articulated very often in interviews with celebrities. So I think losing him, and not like he's dead, I mean, obviously, but like losing him from such a huge public stage is really devastating. And it portends badly for the rest of the late night sort of space, because I think, you know, he was the top rated show for many years. And I think certainly the finale, but like in general, I think even recently or even before his announcement, they were going to end the show is just amazingly popular. One of the top rated. So I'm concerned that we're going to lose the late night show, you know, entirely. And it's going to be replaced with shit. Like, no, nothing against Byron Allen. Just if you've ever watched his stand up or if you've ever seen his late night stuff that he's done, it's nothing good. It's nothing great. It's kind of like most pedestrian thing I can imagine replacing somebody like Colbert. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just really having a hard time processing the world we're in and how, because of politics, you know, whether or not you believe all of the argument, you know, was it the politics involved or was it the money or both? I mean, obviously both things can be true. Like, you know, it led to this very untimely outcome, which, you know, I don't remember how long. Do you remember how long Dave Letterman had late night? I mean, it was more than 10 years. I think it was like 15. I don't know. Let me check. And it's really moving to see that, honestly, you know, especially when they talked together, they had a whole segment kind of pissing off your, you know, whatever, CBS. Like, it's funny to see and just beautiful in some ways to see them kind of be the only two late night hosts and have this now bond of sorts, you know. And so there's things like that are special. And if you watch the finale, you know, the Paul McCartney kind of coming back, being the first and last guest, but also the connection to the Beatles and that beautiful theater, the Ed Sullivan Theater, and just like tying it all into this bow, and, you know, having all the old late night or the old late night. So it's having all the was it called Flash Force 5? Well, the five current late, well, up until recently, the five current late night hosts, I think it's something five. I don't know. Did y'all watch this?
No, I heard about it.
Yeah, I did not watch the episode. No.
Had y'all been watching even like on YouTube any of the Colbert monologues or anything?
No.
Oh. I mean, this is it, really. This is like in a nutshell, because in an earlier era, I think this is what people would be talking about at the quote-unquote water cooler, right? But now a lot of people just don't think about late night. They don't watch anything, really. They don't watch Fallon. They don't watch Jimmy. I mean, John Oliver, maybe, because, you know, like Daily Show, it's kind of it's a different thing. I watched Colbert and Seth Meyers pretty much exclusively for the last 6 years, since the pandemic at least. And Seth Meyers is another one who at first Seth is somebody at first who I did not really like, and I did not like on SNL. And I think it was just an era of it. I was just like, I just didn't like SNL, and that definitely happens. But now as a late night host, like, he is just like bloomed and become this amazingly funny, again, very intelligent, but also empathetic guy. And his, if you haven't watched his day drinking stuff, they're pretty funny with whoever random celebrities he day drinks with. But very different from Colbert, but complimentary in that like astute political commentary. And I also get why people now would be like, I can't handle watching political satire and comedy because it's just not funny. But again, it's kind of like you have to hold that mirror up. You have to have that in culture, you know, whether it's, you know, whoever doing it, you know, on TikTok or doing it on late night. But it's something lost, you know, seeing this institution sort of crumble around you, and for very bad reasons, not just because people aren't watching it, because I think people are watching like the clips on YouTube, you know, largely, but like, you know, the late night institution is quite a thing for me as a kid growing up with Carson and then later with Letterman and then Conan, Jay Leno to some extent, but not as much. And then, you know, more recently, like I said, you know, Colbert and Seth. I just, you know, I'll miss it when it's gone. I think culture will look back and be like, oh, I mean, we'll move on. We'll find something else. And I know Stephen will move on too. And immediately after, I love this, immediately after he finished the show, he shot a public access show with, for like, is it Michigan Public
Only
Radio?
In Monroe.
Only in Monroe. If you don't watch any of the late night finale, and that's fine. It's very much, it really was a regular show, honestly, in most ways. There was a lot of other stuff, but the whole week leading up to it had some great stuff. His stuff with Jon Stewart was amazing. He danced with David Byrne. Gosh, what else? He had a ton of guests too in his studio for the last show. But go watch the Only in Monroe. It's pretty funny. And it's, to me, Stephen Colbert distilled down to his roots as an improv actor. And it's just joyous. Like, it literally is joyous. Like, he's mean in the sense he only punches up. And he's mean in the sense that, like, he satirizes and roasts horrible people like Trump, which is why he was, you know, targeted and singled out as this, you know, whatever. And I just found it so disgusting. Like, I mean, so much about this administration, but seeing like Trump's response to him and making like this some staffer, I'm sure, because he doesn't know how to do it, made some AI slop about him trashing Colbert, and like, it was like just the most petty, horrible nonsense that you'd ever see. Like, any sense of like, you know, oh yeah, I funny guy, he's gone. I mean, like, any sense of like whatever is just so far gone from this pathetic administration. They can't stand being the butt of a joke, even though that's like the whole point of a political satirist is to satirize politicians, whoever you are. It's
although if you're going to watch Only in Monroe, you either have to go directly to Monroe's direct webpage,
uh-huh,
or Stephen Colbert's official YouTube, because yeah, Paramount CBS was issuing takedown notices on other people who were uploading it to YouTube.
That's so weird. I don't get, well, maybe.
I mean, people were originally calling it nefarious. They were trying to suppress the whole thing.
I don't think that's it.
But since Paramount CBS has come out saying they're going to stop that, they were simply doing it because the show's copyrighted and already has a home on Colbert's brand new YouTube channel.
Yeah, it gives a little bit of hacks, you know, when they basically sue, what's her name, because she's not supposed to, for like, she has like a non-compete for like a year after her late night, and they start taking stuff down and challenging and suing. But yeah, in this case, I don't think it was as nefarious as just a dumb legal action.
I think the timing was just bad.
Oh, it is. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Also, did you like the, I don't know if you saw this, the band started playing the Peanuts. It's called yeah, the Peanuts theme, but it's really yeah, just what's his name? It's like a jazz piece. Anyway, everyone knows it. You know, I'm not going to sing it. I don't get sued. But but yeah, he has to start playing it. And then he's like, "Wait, what are you playing? Are you not playing the copyrighted Peanuts theme that we supposedly had licensed to, but now we don't? And you're going to get us sued." And now, like, literally, like, that's possibly what's happening. And I don't know. It's just such a fucking weird era we're in, and I really hate it all. But like, seeing somebody like this like lose their platform is sad. And again, he's gonna make his own platform. He's making a Lord of the Rings movie with his son. Like, I mean, it's like he has the biggest blank check imaginable right now. He can do whatever he wants. But yeah, I'll miss seeing the YouTube videos, because that's how I watched it. I would just go on YouTube and watch the monologue if there was an interesting guest. And his interviews were pretty good. I don't think he's the best interviewer. I think there's times where I can tell he's like really into the interview, and there's times where I'm like, no, not so much. but no, I really am sad that he's gone. So that's my depressing thing I've been watching. The other thing I was going to talk about, I'll just mention briefly. There's a show on Apple called Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed. You guys heard of this one?
No. I've heard the title, but I really don't know anything about it.
So She-Hulk actress Tatiana Maslany, who I really enjoyed. I mean, She-Hulk was pretty good overall. I think we all liked it mostly, and she's a joy. She plays a divorced mom who has like a sex cam boy addiction, kind of like paying for the company of these cam boy, of this one particular cam boy. And she's a fact-checking like journalist, you know, works as a fact checker in like some New York something, but she gets caught up in this, like, at first you think it might be a scam, but then it turns into something worse about this cam boy, and it threatens to ruin her life, and so she takes things into her own hands, and then hijinks ensue. But it's good. It's very fast. You can almost, I would say you can't watch it second screen, but I do think they're putting some things in there that are second screen oriented, but it's fast. The editing and the at least the first episode is very punchy. And it's a dark comedy. So it's not just like a, there's a comedic timing, if nothing else. I don't think it's like, not, it's not doing jokes, but it's good. It's good. I've watched first episode only, so we'll see where it goes from there. But if you liked Tatiana in, I think she's an Orphan Black, years ago, and she was in She-Hulk, like, this show is pretty fresh and pretty interesting. And I don't think you see a lot of shows with women who have like a porn, like cam boy addiction. So interesting material, very different. And then finally, I'll just shut up after this. Has anybody else seen SNL UK yet?
No.
No.
So Shruti Gatwa was just hosting. And of course, you know, I love him so much as not just
a doctor. I saw that he threw some shade at a Doctor Who.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, it's whatever. It's he was. That's the
More so just criticizing the audience for not watching.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No. I mean, it's whatever. Like, it's fine. But Shooty's amazing. But I will tell you right now, the SNL cast, I think SNL UK is almost better than the US one. I think there are times that it's much better. I will say Ashley Padilla, who's on the US one, she's one of my new favorite actress comedians on that show. I still always enjoy like the Colin and Che and Sarah and some of the other people still on there. So, I mean, I do think if you have a chance, it's on YouTube, watch the SNL UK. The references, like, you may not get them because they're very British culture a lot, but I think the writing is tighter, and it almost gives a little bit of that classic, like, Monty Python-esque absurdity that I really long for in sketch comedy, and I have not seen in a while, other than maybe some of the Eric Andre and what's his name, like some of the kind of more recent like cringe stuff, but like, this is without the cringe. This is just bizarre and absurd sketch comedy out of the United Kingdom, which, you know, where to me it started, even if it's not really. Yeah, no, those are the things I can honestly say I've enjoyed or been moved by recently on the tubes, even if most of the tubes are YouTube.
Very nice. All right. Well, dear listeners, we appreciate you listening along. Check us out online, flamemonshow.com. Write to us. Let us know what you're watching. We love to hear from you. All right, to wrap it up, I don't know how I feel about what I'm going to talk about right now. I'm processing. I've been meaning to watch this since it came out a couple of weeks ago, and only just got a chance to finally watch, because I was like, oh shit, I probably should get this. I've been watching a lot of repeat stuff. Although I will say, I kept forgetting over the last couple months to mention that Hulu has put a bunch of LGBTQ comedy specials up, including This Is Wild, Bob the Drag Queen's most recent comedy special. And I watched that and enjoyed it. Then I think I also watched... Did I watch a Mateo Lane one on there? I watched two comedy specials. It might have been Mateo's. But if you're looking for some fun queer comedy, check out Hulu's comedy specials, spotlights. I don't know exactly how they're referred to on there. But definitely watch Bob's. We love Bob. This Is Wild was fun, and the outfit, fantastic. But we did...
Oh, they did drag for something?
Leave Bob alone. Leave Bob alone. Leave Bob and his new or their new hairline alone. Have you seen Bob's new hair since the transplant?
No. They're always in a hat or some other headwear on ice.
Yeah, I think they just put up a video within the last week or so, I think, unveiling the new hairline with Mateo. Because Mateo also famously amongst queer audiences, I don't want to say just famously in general, but Mateo had a hair transplant as well, was on Sibling Rivalry, talked about it. And I think that also that spurred, because he was so open about talking about the process, it spurred Bob to decide to go ahead and do the hair transplant as well. But anywho, love Bob. Always fun watching their comedy. But a couple weeks ago, we did our microsode on Daredevil Born Again season 2. And the week after Daredevil's season finale aired, we got a Marvel special presentation, I think is what these are called. What was the first one? They did it twice around Halloween, and I was thinking about it today, and I just can't. It's
Werewolf at Night.
Okay, I remember the first year they put it out around Halloween, and it was in black and white. Then the following year they redid it or represented it, but in color. So these one off kind of special presentations are now a thing within every so often within the Disney Marvel universe. So we got the Punisher One Last Kill as a special presentation that came out the week after Daredevil Born Again season 2 aired, with the kind of understanding that this would tell us what's been going on with Frank, because he was in Born Again season 1. He escaped the cage that he was being held in Fisk's Freeport detention area, and then before or while season 2 was airing, we saw him in the trailer for Spider-Man Brand New Day. So this special presentation was essentially presented as a way to gap or bridge the gap, I should say, between Daredevil Born Again season 1 and Spider-Man Brand New Day. Do I feel like that actually happened? No, not really. It is a 42-minute special. If you are a fan of violence and blood, for you. If you are not a fan of blood, maybe not for you. It teetered on being a little too much for me as I watched this. So the Punisher One Last Kill, I'll just give the Wikipedia synopsis for those listening. If you're not 100% sure of what this is, just based off of what I'm saying, the Punisher One Last Kill is an American television special directed by Ronaldo Marcus Green and written by John Bernthal and Green for the streaming service Disney Plus. based on Marvel Comics featuring the character Punisher. It's the third special presentation. Oh, I could have just pulled it right from here, but it's the third special presentation in the MCU, sharing continuity with the films and television series of the franchise. So in this, we are treated to a portion of New York City that is utter chaos because the Nucci crime family has been killed, like just taken out. So apparently no law prevails in this vacuum of this crime family being murdered to the point where,
I was so confused by this because I thought this was bridging, like you said, and I thought they made this in conjunction and they tied it together in the release. Like, oh, the lawlessness must be because Fisk's, you know, anti-violence task force disbanded. And then no. So they made it. I feel like they made it to stand alone. It was its own project. But then the marketing team was like, oh, no, you know, we really need to make sure that this all fits together.
Yeah. That I 100% agree with you because, and which is fine. Like this is a standalone thing about the Punisher. Great. Because those that are fans of the Punisher, like I think for the most, some part, I don't know. I've never been a huge Punisher fan. So I'm not sure where this fits in, where people who love Punisher would enjoy it, but it definitely does not. It doesn't feel like Punisher from Daredevil Born Again season one. And maybe a little at the end, feels like the Punisher that's in Brand New Day because he's not dealing with as many voices in his head that are keeping control of him in a sense. It's a very weird
tie into. So I never watched the Punisher on Netflix. I realized some of the holes I have in my whatever that I just never watched it. So the Karen stuff is sort of, I can read between the lines, but does it feel like that? A little bit? Does it like tie into that more?
I have no idea. I don't think I watched The Punisher on Netflix either. And if I did, I did not pay attention to it.
I'm just not a Punisher fan. And I like Jon Bernthal. I think he's a great choice because he gives it. I think The Punisher in the comics is very like one note in many incarnations. There are some, though, that I've read. I think, what's his name? We interviewed him. What's his name? Jason. Not Jason.
Aaron.
Aaron, thank you. And it was another first name. Like Jason Isaac? No. Jason Aaron. His Punisher run is epic and amazing and gives this character way more good material to work with. But overall, I think the Punisher is just kind of overplayed. And that's why Marvel's kind of struggle. They don't know what to do with them half the time. They may give them all kinds of weird things and do different stuff. But I will suggest Bernthal is a great nuance. It shows the conflict tying into a PTSD situation, which some versions of the Punisher do more than others. I think it always makes sense. That to me makes the most sense. Having worked around warfighters, you know, but like, I don't know who this is for. Sure. It fits in with Daredevil in the tonal sense, honestly, because like you said,
no.
I turned it off after I did not last long. I tried watching it last night, dude. Like the beginning of the thing, it's like Hooligan throws this homeless guy's dog over. Like gets run over by a truck. It was horrible. When he threw
the dog in front of the truck, I was like, I don't know if this is for me.
I stopped. I was like, I will choose to not fill my brain with this right now. And sure, those are the bad guys, and the Punisher is going to kill the bad guys. That's what he does.
I mean, the last scene is he shoots that guy in the head, which it took 40 minutes too long for that to happen in my opinion.
Yeah.
What this ended up being was a live action video game.
Oh God.
So there's one member of the Nucci family that is not killed when Punisher does this whole thing. So he killed the Nucci family. He's now living in seclusion in this apartment building in this chaos ridden portion of New York, because there's a point where a cop car rolls up and immediately backs up, and then in the next scene as he comes back down the street, it's on fire. So it's like the police can't even control it. But then in the end, you know, after all the murders happen or like the death happens, like, oh, here's just ambulances picking up dead people and nobody's stopping the Punisher. Like, it's so it's bizarre in the tone of it all. But there he goes to this little deli donut shop, coffee shop on, you know, on the corner. And it the surviving member of the Nucci family is the matriarch of the Nucci family. Ma is what she's referred to. And I looked it up. I think it's like Isabel, I think is her actual name, but it's Ma Nucci. Played amazingly by Judith Light. So it was kind of crazy because I was like, that looks like Judith Light, but I'm not sure. And I looked it up and yes, it is acclaimed actor Judith Light in the role of Ma Nucci. Phenomenal. The emotion, the like, honestly, the shining piece of this entire 42 minute show was Judith Light as Ma Nucci. And I'm assuming she's going to be coming back. She was not killed in this episode, but basically tells Frank, every thug in this neighborhood works for us. I'm releasing your address. They're coming to kill you at the time that you killed my son. Not the other sons or her husband, but this one son. And it then proceeds to degrade into a live action video game where this would be a side scrolling shooter where as you go through, he is just killing people, picking up weapons for more ammo because he's run out. Like, it's insane. There is nothing more to this than like just gratuitous action scenes for a good 15, 20 minutes of it.
So I figured out, I figured out what it is. So this is a Garth Ennis Punisher. So it's based on Welcome Back, Frank. And that fits kind of like where I guess Punisher's at. Right. And yeah, it's the Nucci's are straight out of that story. So that's where they're getting that. Barenthal must have had a lot to do with this because I guess this is what he states is his North Star for the character.
He's co-writer on the special.
Yeah, so it's how the Punisher got his groove back. I mean, great. That's awesome. I mean, sure, well, whatever.
Because he goes to kill himself at his family's graves. Like, and then it's the I mentioned the cafe, donut shop, whatever, because while these thugs and these killers that work for the Nucci family are sent to kill the Punisher, they're beating everybody else. Like, it's not just like there is a steady stream of people, obviously video game style, for him to kill along the way, but then there's just people being beaten in like they're not the Punisher. Why? Ma Nucci says this whole thing about like they'll take out anybody that stands in their way. But these people aren't trying to prevent them from getting to Frank. They're just there or nowhere near Frank and still being attacked. So really, it's just an impetus for him to see a family, a father who's the owner of the deli, the mother working there, and the little girl, and to hear the cries and then to go after the people and save them. And then, you know, get a paper rose or a little craft that the girl makes. And so he goes from wanting to kill himself at his family's graves to welcome back Frank. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to continue doing this again. And then we get a little flash forward and then he goes and kills the thug that threw the dog in front of a truck. And it was like, okay, we could have streamlined this. This could have been an email. Like, this really was a lot more than it needed to be. For those who enjoy like the action and the fight scenes and you know, gore, for you, absolutely for you. This big bald tattooed menace that he then essentially stabs to death multiple times with a pen. Not for me. But it definitely feels like it's in line with the Punisher that I know. And it'll be interesting to see how this is the Punisher that goes into Brand New Day, because I felt let down on, because I've enjoyed the two seasons of Daredevil. Again, not a big Daredevil fan, not a big Punisher fan, but But I've enjoyed Born Again. I enjoyed season two more than the rest of my colleagues who were on that episode with me. But
I know what you're talking about. Who is that?
Frank in Daredevil season one, or Born Again season one, was not the same Frank that was dealing with this PTSD this strongly to then be in a cage. Maybe you could say the cage and all of that triggered more. Sure. But it definitely felt like this was done, that we're being force-fed this is a bridge between the two, and this will explain why he's not there or whatever. And it's like, this doesn't feel like this matches anything. It feels like this is, like, Punisher should never have been in season one of Born Again, and this could have just been its own little thing, and then we move forward from here. But
just putting them together just ties them. Marvel is known for shared universe storytelling. That's like a thing that the comics do very well and have always done well, or for many, pretty much since the beginning, I guess, with Sam and Jack. But the TV series has tied into the movies, and the movies have tied into each other, and that's just the way it is. And so then this happens, and you're like, wait, what? So I really do think they made this effort. They worked it in somehow because they knew they needed to, but not in a good way, not in enough of a way. Like, they didn't have to make the ATV or whatever, the anti-terrorist vigil, ATVF.
AVTF.
They didn't have to make them.
Yeah.
They could have just thrown a quick little nod in there. Like, oh, this happened so many. Like, there's editorial ways to make that, like, fit better. And they just didn't bother. So
I wish that they would just do, like, the comics. And when something like that happens, they reference it. You just get a little pop up.
Yeah. Bring back the thought bubbles and the editorial squares or whatever. You know, like, they did it in that one Hulk movie with Ang Lee. Kind of worked.
Yeah. But no, I overall, it was interesting. I wanted to watch it because I've been interested in how they have taken these characters from the Netflix universe and incorporated them into the MCU proper. Will I go back and watch this again? No. Am I interested? Maybe if I can speak. If I'm interested in seeing how Frank is going to be in Spider-Man, sure. But it's very weird. And to your point, yes and no. Like, with comics, has it always worked when they've intertwined? No, because when you get new writers, I mean, retcons exist, you know, complete storylines get dropped and things change, and I get it. But it really felt like a completely different Frank than what we had in Daredevil, and pretty sure a completely different Frank than we're going to get in Spider-Man. And I mean, Spider-Man definitely, because the rating is going to be, you know, different and not allow for the same type of gratuitous violence and blood that we got in this, nor in Daredevil Born Again. But if you are a fan of the Punisher, go check it out. It's on Disney Plus. Daredevil, the Punisher, One Last Kill, the most recent Marvel special presentation that is out there. All right, dear listeners, we've reached the end of our roundup for the month of May. As we return to you in June, Flame On will be celebrating 16 years. We're going to go my super sweet 16 next month. We're going to rent out a giant concert hall, get the podcast. What was big on that show? What was the car?
Oh, gosh.
I feel like there was always a car that the 16-year-olds would get in those episodes.
Well, we can finally learn how to drive. That's exciting.
Right.
I don't have to keep taking the bus everywhere.
Oh, 16 years. And actually, from where we're recording, not too far away from when the first episode was recorded 16 years ago at Gay Days in Orlando, with an interview with the wet lube person.
I feel like we ought to just retcon Media Mess down into the history and make it all one continuous thing. And then I think we'd be like legal to vote. I don't remember how long Media Mess lasted. I think it was only like a year and a half, but I don't know. We can make up our own narrative, man. We can do whatever we want. We just got to get find a way to get to 20 and then be like, all right, that's good. We're done. Bye-bye.
We can do the Marvel Flame
On podcast universe.
The extended universe. No. Well, it's funny you say that because I'm actually interested now in trying to bring back the interview series. I was talking to the Bear Bad guys and I was like, God, I really miss doing that. And I want to do that again. I just don't know when in my day I can find time to freaking talk to people that I'm not already talking to people. Anyway. So yeah, I don't know. If y'all have any Flame On extended universe ideas, passion projects. I want BJ to go out into the field with a video camera and cause chaos. I don't know why he doesn't already do that. He already does kind of do that in his life. I feel like that'd be perfect for him. He could be that person. It's the roving reporter. He's traveling all over the place like I am, but even more, I think. I don't know. So many ideas. Too many, too little time.
Just imagine, just look at how much more free time we had 16 years ago compared to today.
Oh my God. Right. It's weird. You don't think about that as you grow older. You're like, I have so little, I think we're just more aware of that, but I don't know.
But yeah, if you've gotten any, memories or special highlights of the last 16 years that you want to share, send them our way. Maybe we can share some of them when we record our next episode celebrating 16 years of the podcast. But until then, dear listeners, flame off.